Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. I say everybody. I'm just talking to one person, you, whoever it is that's listening. Glad you're here. Joining me today with my very, very faulty, iffy voice, Dr. Alice Benton and Milan Yurkovich. Hi there.
Howdy, folks.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Steve. Okay. I hope your voice gets better over the course of the week.
Yeah, we're praying for you, Steve.
Thank you very much. I hope the rest of my body feels better, too. And by the way, if you would like to join us here on this program, 1-800-229-3000. And the chances of you hearing more from Milan and Alice and less from me are really good today. So this would be a good day to call. Now, I want to mention something to everybody. I was just looking at some statistics from the Barna Research Organization, the Arizona Christian University, and Ligonier Ministries. And do you know what they reveal? That only 9% of Christians have a true biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. And one of the most startling things is that 44% of people that say they are evangelical Christians believe that Jesus was a great teacher, but not God. So what are you? What's your denomination? They say, I'm a Christian. I'm an evangelical Christian. But they don't believe Jesus is God. And this one is interesting. 58% that say they're evangelicals believe that God accepts the worship of all religions, even though Jesus has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And a startling statistic, 37% of pastors in America hold a Christian worldview. And when it comes down to youth pastors, 12%. It's really startling. And people might say, well, why is that a concern to you? Well, from the beginning of New Life, we have said we are committed to three things. Truth, number one. Second, transformation, which occurs when we allow God to transform our lives. And then redemptive relationship, connection with other people. And no matter what your problem is, there's a spiritual aspect of the solution to it. But if you don't believe in God's truth, you're probably not looking for that particular dimension or aspect. So we want people to know God's truth. We want you to know that we are concerned with God's truth, more interested in your soul being saved than your anxiety being relieved. And when your soul is saved, there is, for most, a less propensity for anxiety, depression. COVID has caused an increase in the general population, 25% increase in anxiety and depression due to COVID over the past 2 years. So we're here, and we want to help. That's what we do. And all you have to do is pick up a phone and call 1-800-229-3000. Also, I want you to know we're thankful for you. Just experienced a great Thanksgiving with my 95-year-old mom, and Amelia and I went there. Watching Solomon in the Macy's Day Parade. That was pretty exciting. But we're thankful here. Thankful for Alice, Milan. Thankful for all of you that support us and listen and watch us on our New Life Live YouTube channel. We're thankful. And I hope you are too. Just to be given that gift of life, that universal anomaly because it only happens right here on this earth in the midst of a very, very large universe. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. Go right to the calls. They're lining up. 1-800-229-3000. So glad you're with us here today on New Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Before we go to this first call, I want you to hear something. Every man's battle is this weekend. Last time we'll do it this year. Listen to what one of the folks who went said right afterward. Listen to this. Okay, maybe we're not ready to play that. Terry Mack is in what, Norway, looking at Northern Lights.
Yes, he is.
And so we'll come back. Well, I'll play that for you in just a bit. Let's go to Martin, La Crosse, Wisconsin, and he listens on the app. Hey, Martin, how are you today? Let's go to Martin.
On line one. Let's get Martin on. There we go.
Here we go, Martin. How are you, buddy?
Hello. I'm doing okay.
Good. What's going on?
I'm feeling very disappointed in my spiritual walk and in my life as a father and a husband in my home. And I'm trying to I want to get back into a better position. I had about a 23-year battle with a porn and sex addiction. I've been married for 30 years.
Yeah, okay.
And it just seems like, so 6 years ago, I went through something called the Conqueror Series and at our church, and I just, through that experience, I feel like I experienced being reborn again as a believer. And I had been born again back in the fall of 91. And so I had this long battle with porn that it's rooted back, started when I was looking at porn when I was like 5 years old, through life growing up in my home and stuff like that.
Okay.
And so anyway, I have really broken that, God broke that addiction, that chain that I felt.
Okay. Let me ask you a question before you say anything.
I'm no longer viewing porn and acting out on it.
I want to ask you a question. So that was 6 years ago. What has your family, I mean, you're saying you feel bad about your family. Has your wife seen the change and responded? Have your kids? What's going on there?
Yeah. My wife and I have a really poor, intimate relationship, and she's... She's a, you know, the whole thing about my porn addiction broke 6 years ago when she saw something on a device that I was looking at, and so it's out in the open with her, but
hey Martin, let me ask you a question. You're disappointed in yourself, and when you have an addiction that lasts 23 years, starts in childhood, we don't start relationships on the right foot. We don't start with emotional, spiritual, relational connection. And then if we have this 23-year, really a fracture in the relationship, you're asking us right now, well, I'm disappointed in myself, and could you tell us which ways you would like to change or be different? How can we help you here? Because you're describing something that's very important. You're trying to start something you never had.
Yeah. I feel very, my father took his life when I was 19. I grew up with a visual disorder that created some bullying kinds of, things.
Yeah.
I grew up kind of as my mom is a functional alcoholic. Both my parents are gone now, but
yeah.
A lot of pent up anger, frustration, people pleaser kind of guy. And I fell into this. I started getting into porn because I was thinking I was not going to be lovable or attractive to women. And
okay,
I just started,
so Martin, you know, tell us and, tell us how we could help you today. Yes, it's a big trap. So what help would you like today from us?
Yeah, I'm a longtime listener, and I've heard you guys try to get at the root of stuff with people, and I'm just having a really hard time expressing, you know, what it is.
I think you're doing a wonderful job. I think you're doing a wonderful job of saying we have not been where we want to be. I want to get to someplace new. Alice, what would you say?
Yeah.
Martin, I hear in your description that I think you're coming to understand that the problem is so much more than pornography and sex addiction, which is very overwhelming. The porn and the sex addiction were an attempt to solve part of the problem, which is the deep spiritual woundedness that you grew up with, being exposed to porn so young, losing your father so young. And I wonder if you're aware that you're probably carrying a pretty significant level of depression. I wouldn't be surprised if after a full evaluation, you would find out that it's a clinical level of significant depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. And so if you only point towards porn as the problem, and then everything should have been solved when you got recovery 6 years ago. And so how disappointing that that major breakthrough didn't solve these other problems. Now, you've probably done additional work. But there's a calling here to continue to work out both your salvation, but also your mental health healing process with that fear and trembling and that strong pursuit on a daily basis, because the problem you're carrying around is enormous, and sobriety from porn doesn't fix everything. You might even be experiencing a dry drunk period of your life where you're sober from porn, and yet the other problems haven't yet been solved. And so I want you to consider adding on to your recovery. You probably need medication for the depression that you're experiencing, because the anger you have is turning inward at you. You're the disappointment. You're the failure. That's what I'm hearing in your voice. Whereas that anger righteously belongs to your parents' lack of healing, to the enemy's attack on your family, to the exposure to pornography. And so within individual therapy with medication, ongoing groups with other men, and couples therapy to address the wreckage that this has all caused your wife, it's that combination of various treatments that will continue the breakthrough and bring you to different levels of breakthrough and healing.
And a quick question for you here. In the 6 years that you've been getting better, if I was talking to your wife, why hasn't she responded to that? There's no wrong answer on that. Why do you think it hasn't helped you guys?
That's a great question. I think it's what I hear from her is kind of that classic response that that couples seem to have with each other. I'm feeling unappreciated and not as respected, and she's feeling uncherished and unloved.
Okay.
You know, like, she'll say things like, "I could fall over dead, and you guys would just walk over me," meaning the whole house, you know, all of us. And
okay,
she's feeling like I'm, you know, just not, don't really care deeply about her.
Right. So I have a very
learned how to love.
I have a very practical suggestion for you, Martin. Do you have a copy of our book, How We Love, by myself and my wife, Kay Yurkovich? Do you have How We Love? The book?
I don't.
Okay. We'll send.
I do not. Yeah.
We'll send that to you. And in the last third of the book is the comfort circle. And it teaches you how to have conversations with people that are significant, that in fact show the person that you respect them, that you love them, that their entire internal self is important to you. And it has a variety of questions that you can ask. And then it also ties in your history as to what is missing and what needs to be added. So I'd recommend that you do that. And you could skip right to the comfort circle in our book when you get it, and you could say, "Okay, honey, I have some questions I want to ask you to learn to be the kind of husband that would be attractive to you."
Yeah.
And to learn to be the husband that would be a better dad. So here we're going to start something new. Would you guys work with me here? And it'll feel a little stumbly bumbly maybe at first, but I really want to learn something new. And that would be a big first step for you, Martin. And
okay.
It's changed my life.
Martin, one more question.
Thank you.
So you say you're an avid listener. I'm just wondering why you haven't ever suggested to your wife that you guys go to Intimacy in Marriage, or she go to Restore, or maybe you go to Every Man's Battle.
No, I'm laughing because, yeah, I mean, every time I listen to New Life, I feel uplifted and encouraged.
Okay, so just tell, I mean,
I'm curious. I think it's financial.
But Martin, you know about our scholarship fund.
Yeah.
You know that should never be a barrier.
Almost every day we say that. Call?
I hear you.
Yeah. Okay.
It feels kind of like shameful to take advantage of that.
Okay. You know? All right. But here's the thing.
I got to get past stuff like that because it's like the expenses of therapy and stuff like that. We've started different counseling, and it's just so expensive. And then it's been I guess the finances have been a bit of a barrier.
All right, so let me share with you a different perspective on what you've gone through, okay?
Mm-hmm.
23 plus years with a sexual addiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
You feel bad about how you relate with your family, and you and your wife haven't come together, right?
Right.
And to get help, you went to a seminar at your church.
It's true.
So what I would say
is... about a 6 to 8 week
Which is a good thing. But after 6 years, you have...
life-changing.
But after 6 years, you have to say, okay... So this changed me, but my wife doesn't seem to be coming along here. So
yeah.
I'm going to encourage you to look at every financial possibility you have and go to something with her, send her to Restore. Every Man's Battle is this weekend for you. Mm-hmm. I just think there has to be something that could be added to what's happened that would change everything. So here's what I'm going to do. If you and your wife can get to California in February, I will sponsor you and I will cover the expense of you going to Intimacy in Marriage. Okay?
Oh.
So you have to get there.
Thank you.
And
okay.
I would be very surprised that you would have the same relationship afterward. Mm-hmm. Now, you've heard me say that before, right?
Sure.
But the problem is, when we are in a situation, we hear things, but we're not really listening to the things. I mean, given this misery that caused you to call, you'd think, you know, like 2 years ago, as an avid listener, you would have said, I got to get out of this miserable place. Now, I think it would be also unwise to not listen to what Alice had to say about the depression. I can hear it in you and the despair. And I think it would be great if you had a consultation with a psychologist and maybe even have a psychiatrist give it a shot. Because if you get rid of or improve on the depression scale, it's going to help you be more sensitive to her. And but a lot of times after 23 years in a 30-year marriage, a woman is not just going to instantly say, oh, I'm so happy that you're not going to use pornography anymore. She needs to heal. The two of you need to heal together. It's like a total restart. And that's why I want you to go to Intimacy in Marriage. I will cover that for you. And I think the result will be great. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Alice Benton. Mylon, you have a comment that you wanted to make.
The whole general addiction question. When we've had addictions of any kind, especially in Martin's case, where he had a dad who ended up committing suicide, his mom was an alcoholic, they never had conversations as a family that taught them how to develop emotional intelligence, relational awareness, self-awareness, and how to invite out the inner person of who they are and who their spouse and children are. And so one of the tremendous misunderstandings of addiction recovery is people say, well, I've been sober for six years, 5 years, 30 years. But that doesn't mean that the other deficits have been made up.
Yeah.
And it's really important to understand that now that the addiction is out of the way, you can now learn to start to have emotional and relational intelligence, but you're going to have to learn it. And it's something you have to learn as an adult and start right from scratch. Who am I? What do I feel? What do you feel? Tell me about it. And learn to ask probing questions and engage and care for one another. That's a whole new additional world to just becoming sober.
Yeah.
That's right.
And stopping, not the goal. It's the beginning of the goal. Stopping is the beginning of the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put all the stuff into recovery after stopping, but that doesn't fix the problem in relationship.
Right.
And we say this all the time, even if you were miraculously delivered from whatever it is, well, we've never known anybody delivered into mature Christian character, nor have we seen their families delivered from all the problems that they're struggling with. So we still have to enter into a sanctification process.
Well put.
And that process could begin with a lot of people going to Every Man's Battle this weekend. A lot of people don't know this, but I do because I looked it up. Within a 500-mile radius of Dallas, Texas, there's Houston, San Antonio, Austin, Memphis, Fort Worth, Oklahoma City. There's New Orleans, Kansas City, Tulsa, Arlington, Wichita, Kansas. There are a lot of people within a 500-mile radius of Dallas. You could drive, and it'd be a nice little drive to Dallas, Texas, and join us on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for Every Man's Battle. And then you would enter into 2023, which I think is the Chinese year of sexual addiction recovery. Not sure. I'll have to look that one up, but I'm going to declare that. You could be a different human being. It could be the beginning. And you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and just like Martin, you might be saying, well, the financial thing. Ask us. A lot of guys that went through have paid for scholarships so other guys can go through, but you have to call us first. Let's go over here to Mimi, and let's talk to Mimi. She's calling from Fairfax, Virginia, WAVA, the great station there. Mimi, how are you today?
Okay. I have a question.
Okay.
Did my husband commit adultery when he flirted with my Christian girlfriend in Messenger? I just discovered this only in September of this year when I happened to read his Messenger messages because he did not log out from his Messenger and Facebook. Mm-hmm. I was really shocked because in July he greeted my girlfriend in Messenger. He said, "Happy July 4th. I miss you." call me. And he write down his number. And my girlfriend just said, I will call you, but he never, but she never really did do it, okay?
And did she talk to you about this? Did she talk to you about this?
Okay. Okay, apparently, when I scrolled up the messenger, he started greeting her very nicely.
Well, wait just a second. I'm asking a different question. Did your girlfriend tell you what he was doing?
I spoke to her at one point. She only said that, Mimi, your husband and I are friends in Messenger. That's all. But she never detailed what's happening. So apparently, when I scrolled up the Messenger, it started way back in 2017 when he started messaging him very innocently.
Mimi, I'm going to interrupt you. Your radar is going off, and for good reason, because you know that your husband is at the very least being inappropriate and secretive and seeking more with your girlfriend. Mimi, is this the first time you've been afraid he's been unfaithful at some level, or have you had that fear, and have there been other instances with other people previously?
This is my first time, because I'm very impressed.
Well, when we come back, we need to talk about the definition of girlfriend, because I think there's a problem there. But, you know, this is not the question. I mean, the question of adultery, of course, we know the answer to what adultery is. But this is a question of, as we talk about so often, sexual integrity or just character, or am I fully committed to the vows I made when I got married? We'll talk about that right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking here with, well, the question is with Mimi, is flirting adultery? Alice, Mylon, what do you, talk with her, and let's try to help her here.
Mimi. The way that you're framing the question makes me wonder, when you've experienced adultery in perhaps other relationships, maybe in your family of origin, what has been your experience with infidelity prior to your husband?
I come from the Philippines. I'm 76 years old, but naturalized citizen. My husband is American, of German, and Slovak ethnicity. I have found him very honest with me for 46 years until this year. When I found out those messages, I know he has integrity.
Mimi, I'm gonna redirect you to my question. When else have you experienced infidelity, probably with another family member, or somehow has touched your life prior to your husband?
My uncle on the mother's side, okay, they are sort of womanizers.
Okay, suffice it to say, you've grown up around men being sort of loose with women and being attached to a variety of women. I ask that because I wonder about your tolerance level and why you would frame the question in the way that you are. Mimi, I think you have every right to be concerned that your husband is doing something deceptive, something that's not life-giving to your marriage. It's destructive to your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder, is it okay with you to be upset about this and to take a strong stance against it, no matter how much your husband minimizes it? Is that legitimate for you to be upset about this?
I think I am.
And what are you afraid will happen if you are upset and you speak up and you draw a line against this?
All right, okay. This Thanksgiving night, this November, I confronted him.
Oh, okay? Good, Mimi, yes.
First, before I confronted him, I sent him scathing messenger messages, okay? And he did not like it, all right? Because I told him the biblical thing about this kind of flirting and adultery. And I told him in my messenger, it doesn't have to be physical contact in bed. It starts in the mind.
Mimi, you are right, and I validate what you did. Have you asked him to attend Every Man's Battle and individual therapy?
No, because you know what? My husband, is very, I hate to say, very arrogant, haughty, self-reliant.
Mimi, I'm so sad to hear this. And so I would guess that he's not responding in a humble, restorative way to you confronting him.
Exactly.
So then, Mimi, you have to start to take care of yourself,
That's what I'm doing myself.
Yes,
that's what
good,
I'm doing.
Good.
I have been listening. I've been listening to God's word, and I hate to say, but I think I have enough foundation. Having been a Christian since I was 11 years old in the Philippines.
Enough foundation for what?
As a Christian. I was born again in the Philippines at the age of 11.
So Mimi, if your husband is not responding to your confrontation, then there are a couple of steps you'll have to consider taking. You'll have to let him know what action you're going to take if he continues to refuse to get help for himself and for his marriage. And so we highly recommend that you come to Restore, because you're going to need a sisterhood around you who will strengthen you to take steps, probably to protect your heart, perhaps even to start protecting your finances and your household if he continues to refuse. And so we always recommend incremental boundaries where you start to emotionally separate if he continues to be unwilling to get help, because sometimes that separation changes a person's mind. Now, we want incremental boundaries because little by little they can change a person's heart and mind, whether it's moving to a different room, perhaps having to live apart, maybe even to consider a legal separation.
Now, Mimi, let me just give you a couple of things, and I'm going to ask Mylon to just give us a couple of things too. But at minimum, even though you say he's arrogant, at minimum, he should be willing, and we could find this for you, to sit down with you, with a counselor, and talk this through. Because what I would want to know, is this an isolated situation, or are there others that you don't know about because they're not your best friend? The bigger thing is you guys aren't a couple. You're separated. You're different in your values and thinking. And that's what I would want to see, is you come together as a couple. And that in that coming together, he'd be able to be totally honest and upfront with you about what's going on. Mylon, a couple of things from you here.
Mimi, I empathize deeply with your what you're going through. And Alice is right. You need to make him understand by your behaviors that this is unacceptable. And you need to show that by your behavior in response to his unfaithfulness in terms of his friendship with this other woman. So to move into another bedroom, to get a separation, to tell him, if you do not do these things, then we don't have a relationship. And he needs to feel a price for doing what he's doing. Somehow he thinks he can take advantage of you, and he can pull one over on you so that it and you don't matter. He can do whatever he wants. So you need to tell him, no, that's not true. I see all this, and I'm going to require something. And if you don't change, you don't have me.
Yeah. And here's what could have happened. You could have said, I've discovered this. And he could have said, oh, my goodness, I cannot believe I've let this go like this. I haven't been truly faithful to our vows. And that could have been the beginning of transformation versus him defending and all of that. So I'd love to send you this book, Worthy of Her Trust. You ought to read in there what it would mean for him to be worthy. I want you to hold on. Maybe we can find a great counselor for you. But, you know, here it is this weekend. I'd be saying to him, go. Get some help. Here's the weekend. Get it taken care of now versus drag it into 2023. That's what I'd be doing.
Steve, I have to speak to Mimi's husband and to all of us, because I include myself in this, who are flirting with this online, because we and I have so easily justified relationships with people online. I'm not really doing anything with them, no physical contact, although this sounds like it's leading towards more. But when we engage with people online in this manner, temptation and sin always multiplies. And in my own deception and my own omissions from my husband about my engagement with people online, it was also leading towards eventually considering meeting up with them in person. It is so dangerous to dip our toes into this water, and it's easily justifiable. And so we continue in this sin, but it will multiply and it destroys families. Hear my plea, folks. Those of you who have engaged in this sin, like I have, emotional infidelity does not stop there. It will lead to fuller levels, deeper levels of infidelity eventually.
So, Alice, what did you do when you realized this can't go on?
I had to get connection with one other human being with whom I revealed what I was doing. I had to stay accountable on a regular basis. I had to cease all contact online, on social media, with anybody that was putting me into a place of temptation. Individual therapy and group work in order to protect me from relapsing back into it, because the temptations are all over social media.
So you did stuff.
A lot of stuff, and I have
you
to keep
stuff.
Doing stuff to stay
See,
accountable.
You didn't say, well, wow, I have a PhD. I could just think my way through this. No, you did stuff. And that's the tough part, is someone reaching that point, realizing I need to do some things for this to change. And when I don't, it's just pretty much going to stay the same. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to know about every man's battle this weekend, call us. We'll take a break right now, but when we come back, we're going to talk to whom I call Birthday Boy, Larry Sonnenberg. It's his birthday today. We will be trying to wish him well. 80 years old today. It's pretty amazing that how great he looks for 80. Congratulations on that, Larry. We'll be back again. If you need help, you call us. Every Man's Battle is this weekend, and I really hope that some of you will change everything in your life, in your relationship with God and others, by attending. And then in February, I've already mentioned it, Intimacy in Marriage. It's going to be fantastic. It'll be the best one we've ever done. Emotional Freedom is January 21. And we'll tell you more later.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And again, as I said, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that is the phone number to call. If you need some help, we do want to help you. And I pray that, you know, anything you're dealing with, you'd trust us with it, because that's why we've been here since 1988. Happy birthday, Larry.
Well,
I am excited for you that you've actually not.
Yeah, I reached 80 real quick. So thank you for that.
Yeah, sorry about that. I did mean to do it, but it was a mistake. So please forgive me. So Larry, what do you have for us today on your birthday?
Two things, and I'll try to be quick. I know we've got to get another call in here. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
And that means we have a donor that stepped up and said, I'm giving you $50,000 now. Match it tomorrow on one day.
And what do they need to do on Giving Tuesday to get that match, their gift matched, doubled?
Well, the best thing is to call 800-NEW-LIFE.
Okay.
And make a gift that way. If they could send us a gift, it would have to be postmarked on Tuesday. We won't honor a gift that's postmarked on Wednesday or after.
I would honor that gift, but
we'll honor it, but not as a match.
I'll honor any gift at any time, but
yeah.
But the match needs to be on Giving Tuesday,
right?
Okay, up to $50,000, and I'm praying one person could do that because I know you could. And what else do you have for us, Larry?
You've already promoted Every Man's Battle. Let me give you a short testimony from a man.
Okay, let's hear it.
This was the most amazing weekend I have spent with a group of other men. I've made friends, built friendships that will last the rest of my life. The thing I have learned are things I have not learned in my 62 years of life. I made a great lifelong connection with God and with other men. J.J. West, he's the presenter at the workshop, is great at bringing to us in a very easy way to understand and feel God wanting to bring you closer to Him.
Mm.
I just love that. There's a lot of technical things we could say, a lot of stuff that guys learn and do and feel, but this was just a thing that a man's never had an experience like this before with other men. And to see he's closer to God. And I just want to encourage folks, whether you're 18 years old or 62 years old, this workshop has something for you.
It does.
Don't be shy no matter what age you are. We want to help you.
We do. And, you know, if you've done something but the results aren't there, you may need to do something else. That's the whole point. Do whatever it takes, and you'll never regret it. The number for any kind of help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. So many things in January, we'll be telling you about them all December. But Giving Tuesday tomorrow, please help us on Giving Tuesday and get that gift match. Anything else you want to say, Larry?
Well, just speaking of numbers, how old are you?
I am going to be today, I don't know what time, a little later. I'm going to be 68 years old.
Okay. 68 years
old. I'm just a kid.
Old. You are a child, a mere child.
You act like one.
Thank you. I like you that. Rhonda will like that.
Yeah. Oh, well, happy birthday, Larry. Because,
thank you.
You know, I was just talking to my wife, how sad it would be to be alive and have never made a difference in anyone's life. And you have made a difference in thousands and thousands of lives.
Thank you. Steve, I wish I could have said more about calling and talking to your mother on Thanksgiving. That was the highlight of my day.
Oh, so, thank you. She loved that, especially since I had laryngitis and she doesn't hear well. I'd tell Amelia, whisper what I wanted my mom to know, and then she'd try to yell at my mom loud enough to hear. It was kind of frustrating. But anyway, God bless you, Larry.
Right,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Calling, Mom. She loved that phone call. I think we've got time for one more call here, so let's go right over here and talk with Christy, Nashville, Tennessee. Don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to get to your call. How could we help you today?
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I am 72 and my husband's 74. And we've been married for over 50 years.
Okay.
And we are not on the same page in terms of sexual intimacy. He still wants it. It's harder for us to do it. And I have problems of bleeding and pain. And we're just, you know, he still wants it. And he tells me it all the time. And my question is, am I in some way not keeping the covenant I made with God and him.
Oh,
well, let's talk about the whole issue mm-hmm. here, and we can start with you, Alice.
Just my heart goes out to you that you want to love your husband well. I hear that desire within you, but there's some physical, major physical barriers. Is your husband emotionally understanding and considerate of you in general?
No.
And has that always been the case, or was there a change in your marriage?
Really, honestly, I think he's borderline narcissistic. He never apologizes for anything and turns things around to where it's someone else's fault. He doesn't really understand when I tell him. His response is, I shouldn't have to give it up.
And Christy, if you were to say to him, I know how much you want sexual intimacy, and it would really help me if we could build emotional intimacy so that I can consider some form of sexual intimacy. And I think we need professional help with that for the sake of our overall marriage and hopeful sexual intimacy in the future. Would you consider coming with me to a therapist? What would he say?
He would say no.
Oh.
We've been in therapy before, and it was with Christian counselors, and, you know, like, they'll tell him you have an anger issue, and, you know, he doesn't believe it. Well, he never believed
it. Okay, so let me hear from Mylan, because we're just about out of time, and now I just hate this for you.
Christy, I'm going to be very brief here. In our New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop, Kay and I talk about this very subject. And I'm going to say these things really quickly, so you can listen to the show later if you want again to hear it more thoroughly. As we get older, for a female, sex can hurt because your anatomy changes and it isn't as strong and healthy as it once was. There is more pain involved. But as Alice said, unless there is an emotional bond, our sexual connection is not going to be a high-quality one. Number three, there are many ways to have a fulfilling sexual relationship together that does not include intercourse, which is the painful aspect for you. And learning how to have an intimate relationship that is born out of emotional connection is the key thing, and then learning to do and have sex differently.
See, here's what I think's the big problem is sexual intercourse, or just the sexual experience for many men as they get older, it's relief or release versus the result of connection and intimacy emotionally, spiritually. At the time where it's more difficult for the woman, it becomes more of a thing. And that's the problem. You have to start, like you're saying there, with the relationship. And then you find out the ways to make it work, being sexual versus intercourse, and it can be quite satisfying. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. Thank you, Mylan and
Thanks for
Alice.
Listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.